here today on Car Show Sunday. Seem to have a lot of people over there working. We welcome everyone here. If there's anything we can do for anyone, please let us know. The 39ers will be meeting tomorrow.
Yes.
That is a good thing. Development Committee will be meeting at night.
Yes.
Sunday school starts next week. That's going to be awesome. And DC will be starting, which is kind of cool. We're going to be meeting in the mornings now. Quarterly business meeting will be next week also. And there will be the ice cream social. So you can come and register and have some ice cream. Women's retreat is sneaking up here to let all of the women know, 16th through the 18th up at Pilgrim Pines. I don't have a person to check in with, so I don't know anybody who's going. Okay. Let me see, is there anything else we need to bring up? The style of ministry review. Yes.
Yeah, so we're going to go over the portion of our church profile that has to deal with how we operate, whether we're very strict or very lenient, or whether we're very formal or very informal, and going across that kind of thing to decide how do we present ourselves, how do we do our ministry. And other pastors who are maybe looking to move will do their, they'll have done their own style of ministry evaluation, and they will look to see where we overlap with theirs. So we're going to review what we have come up with for our church, and we're going to review it with you. And so there are two Sundays. It's September 25th, which is in 2 weeks after church, 11:30 downstairs in the Potter's House. And a second one is on October 16th, if you can come to one or the other of those. This sign-up sheet will be downstairs in the Potter's House right after church. And I've got one person signed up here and a few there, so we need some more people to sign up.
You want to go over this? Well,
you all should go over this because it was instructive to us as we looked at these things. They said, what does this mean? And so we hashed it over for several weeks before we worked out what we were putting down. So please sign up.
Does anyone have anything else they would like to share with us this morning or bring up? Well, our flowers this morning are red, white, and blue in memory of 9/11. So let's just take a moment in prayer for those who lost their lives and the families left behind. Thank you. Let us now stand for our introit number 503, blue hymn.
Join me in our call to worship. God calls to the lost, the least, and all who long for home.
God calls as we wander from the path chosen for us and waste the gifts we have made.
God calls and welcomes us back to worship this day.
Let us celebrate and rejoice in God's presence forever. Let us worship God together.
Amen.
Amen.
passive hell regret over my head is gone. These chains are ashes now that once were rusted on. I was a runaway, now I am finally home. My mind was a ghost town, haunted by yesterday, until your hand reached down, pulled me out of the grave, into the freedom found only in Jesus' name. I am forgiven, no longer lost, and now I am living in the power of the cross. The Father gave His Son so I could be set free, and now the scales are gone, my eyes can finally see. I'll tell the world of all Jesus has done for me.
Please join me in prayer. Lord, you call us to not forsake gathering together. You call us to come together to worship you in all of your glory. The beauty of the earth may one day cease, but your beauty is forever. We lift our voices in praise to you, thanking you for all you have done and are doing to call us to yourself, into your kingdom, and into your family. Our praise and glory and honor be to you, our King. It is in Jesus' most precious name that we pray. Amen. Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts,
as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning. We will begin in the book of Psalms. I will be reading Psalm 51, 1 through 10. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone, have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence, and blameless when you pass judgment. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner, when my mother conceived me. You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. We will now move to the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy. And we will be in 1, 12 through 17. Gratitude for mercy. I am grateful in Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Jesus Christ. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason, I received mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And we are now moving to the book of Luke. Three readings today. Luke 15, 1 through 10, that's on page 850 in your pew Bible. The parable of the lost sheep. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance? Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors and saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And this, my friends, is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I'd like to ask you to enter into a spirit of prayer as we, the three of us, come to pray with, to pray to God with us. Lord, we lift up for your blessing all our elderly and shut-ins who can't be here regularly. We especially lift up Karen and George Anacoli, Alice Nelson, Art Peel, Carolyn Stratman, Lou Wincoop, and others. We lift up also for your blessing all who struggle with health issues or who have loved ones struggling with health issues, and remember especially Pastor Ann and many others. We lift up those who have recently lost loved ones as they work through their grief, especially Jean and Sarah and all the Mortons, and Rogene and all the LaPlantes and the Hanleys, Linda Lawrence, and many others. We lift up also all who are working carefully to make the ends meet with limited resources. And we lift up Pastor Gary, our church leaders, and all of us in this congregation as we work through this interim period. Give us a hunger to know you better, which draws us to read our Bibles regularly and to take to heart what we find there. Show us how to speak and act in love, even when our feelings are in conflict with what we know we should do, say and do.
We pray for families that together they may seek you daily and feel a connection of community in our churches to strengthen the bonds between spouses and children and their parents. May they know that it is because that you loved us first that they may love and serve each other in their families. We pray for peace in our homes and provision in these challenging times. We also pray for children to be taught that their strength and courage comes from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and that life's challenges can be met with joy and hope for a better future. And we pray for schools, Lord. We pray for the teachers, that they too will be indwelled by the Holy Spirit, and that they can pass that peace and joy and love onto their students so that the children can feel accepted, because there is no learning until the children feel that peace and joy in their schools. Lord, we just pray that you will protect our schools, that you will protect our children physically, mentally, and emotionally as they grow, not only in knowledge, but also in wisdom. And we pray these things in your name, Lord Jesus, because you are our great and powerful Lord.
Just as I
Father God, we just thank you for this new day and for every breath that we take. And thank you for being the God of all creation, the one who is in charge. As we prepare for our Sunday school and youth group kickoffs, we lift up all our children and youth, the teachers, helpers, families, our pastor, the youth group leaders, and our congregation. We pray that the doors will open wide and our numbers will increase throughout the church. We pray that everyone will be filled with your Spirit, so as we go out to the world, people will know that we are with you, of you, and they want to be a part of it. We pray for all the children and youth, that they come to know you and want to keep learning about you. We also pray for the health and safety for all our families. We pray that we can be an outreach to our community and also serve and help those within our own community. We pray that we can help in whatever way is needed. We pray for wisdom and discernment, so that our hearts and minds will be opened, so we will allow you to mold us into whom you want us to be and not what we think. We pray that we will be a blessing to this church, community, and the world. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I come.
you, Deb. I enjoyed sitting in my office listening to her practice. Except every once in a while she'd throw a Christmas song in there. So we know you'll be back. A former homeless man was buried at the prestigious St. John's Episcopal Church across from the White House. St. John's is called the Church of Presidents, since nearly every U.S. leader since James Madison worshiped there. In an unusual memorial, former members of Congress and prominent professionals attended the burial of William Wallace Brown, Jr. Someone had swindled Brown out of his money in his house 15 years earlier, and he had been living on the streets in Washington. One Sunday morning, he spotted then-President George H.W. Bush entering the church, and he shouted out to the former president to pray for him. Bush looked at him for a moment and said, "No. Come inside and pray for yourself," he said. After that, William Brown became a regular attendee at the 8 a.m. service. And each week he would take his $1 bill crumpled up and put it into the silver offering plate. At his funeral, Doth Hatfield, a member of the church who had befriended Brown, said, "Homeless and the most important are one and the same." Hatfield introduced himself to Brown when he saw that some of his other parishioners had snubbed him. They became best friends. They would go to lunch occasionally. He would take him out for groceries once in a while. The pastor who conducted the service said that Brown really understood that the kingdom of God is for all of us. Doesn't matter your ethnic background, race, or class. All things that we allow to divide us, but that in God's eyes are really not that important. September 11th, 2001 is a day to us, just as President Roosevelt declared on December 7th, 1941, was a day that will live in infamy. Infamy, the state of what being well known for some bad quality or deed. On September 11th, tens of thousands of people worked in the Pentagon and the World Trade Center. Most of them were able to escape this cowardly attack. But more than 6,000 were injured and 3,000 people lost their lives. While all who endured this terrible day could be considered brave, there are some who went above and beyond in trying to save lives, prevented the tragedy from becoming even worse. Of the 515 New York City emergency workers who were killed, 343 of them were firefighters, most of them dying inside the buildings while attempting to rescue others. Sadly, the horror of the day continues as the death consumes as 10,000 of those first responders and those in the area have gotten cancer. It's even harder to believe that more people have died from cancer since 9/11 than died on 9/11. On that beautiful Tuesday morning, an office manager of about 100 or so people, workers, was hard at work at his office on one of the higher floors of the South Tower. Besides his normal job, he was in charge of office safety. And he took his side job very seriously, and he was often criticized for forcing them to go into these fake drills and escaping, and if there was a fire and if there was a problem. They really didn't like that. But after the crash in the North Tower at 8:46, he was told by the Trade Center security not to evacuate the South Tower or any of his people. He told them to just stay put. But eventually he decided to make the call on his own and evacuate his people out of there. And just like he planned, everything went beautifully. They all were down the stairwells and heading on their way out in a matter of minutes. But he went back, and he checked again, and he thought he heard a voice. He thought he heard a mumble. He thought he heard something, and he went in search to see if it was. Well, when he went back, it was 9:03 a.m. and his tower was hit by the second plane. And after he got his composure and got himself together, he was certain now that he had heard a voice. So he started looking and searching, but the ceiling had fallen in. There was a mess everywhere. Eventually, he could pick up a sound. And as he moved closer, it got louder. He found a woman trapped underneath her desk. She was a heavy-set woman. She could barely breathe. Her leg was caught under the desk, and she said, "Just go on. Just get out of here." And he said no, but he insisted, and he moved stuff. And he found a pipe, and he put the pipe underneath, and it broke. So he put another pipe under there, and he got her leg out. And he eventually got her crawling in the darkness and dust, kind of dragging her out of the office into the stairwell. Step by step, some 1,700 steps, in smoke and darkness, he walked, he carried, he cried, he sat with, he prayed with this woman. Eventually, some firemen helped them get out. 56 minutes after the tower was struck, and moments before the building collapsed. Today's scripture is from Luke 15. It's where Jesus tells the parable, "Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and one of them is lost. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go out in search of the lost sheep until he finds it?" Well, Jesus' parable is describing a lost sheep. Jesus came to extend a lifeline to earth and did so by giving his own life. The office manager went in search for a lost, left behind coworker. In doing so, decreasing his chances of survival. The firemen searching to rescue the many sheep in peril continued to put themselves in harm's way, and in doing so, many of them never returned home to their families. In Matthew 17, Jesus says that if any of you wants to be my followers, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. I don't believe that Jesus wants us to just blatantly go and give up our life for him. Earlier in Matthew, when Jesus says to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan," Jesus says, "You're not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Jesus exposes how Peter came into a satanic way of thinking. He didn't make a deliberate choice to reject God and embrace Satan. He simply let his mind settle on the things of man instead of the things of God. And Satan took advantage of this. Peter is a perfect example of how a sincere heart coupled with man's thinking can often lead to disaster. In the 20 centuries or so since Jesus, after Jesus, we have done a pretty good job in sanitizing and ritualizing the cross. Yet Jesus said sometimes something much like this: "Walk down death's row daily and follow me." As we discussed in last week's sermon, take up your cross wasn't a journey. It is a one-way trip. There is no return ticketing. It was never a round trip. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. We must follow Jesus this way because it's the only way that we will ever find life. It sounds strange to say. You will never live until you first walk to your death with Jesus. But that's the idea. You can't gain a resurrection life without dying first. You don't lose a seed when you plant it, though it seems to be dead and buried. Instead, you set the seed free to be what it has always intended to be. What profit is there for a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Avoiding the walk to death with Jesus means that we may gain the whole world and in the end lose everything. Jesus himself had the opportunity to gain the whole world by worshiping Satan. But in Luke 4, we found life and victory. in the obedience instead. Amazingly, the people who lived this way before Jesus are the ones who are really generally happy. Giving our lives to Jesus all the way and living as an others-centered person does not take away from our lives. It adds to it. So how are the firemen dying and the Christians losing their life in his name connected? The firemen who died in the stairwells, rubble and smoke and debris of 9/11, were doing their job. They were highly trained professionals, serving on the front line, making critical decisions and critical choices. We as Christians, we should also be highly trained, making critical decisions and making critical choices as well, taking our call seriously and going out as Jesus teaches us. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. Some of us are in danger. Michael Anacoli working in Africa. But his training, his experience, his knowledge he's learned, and his faith are keeping him safe. Some of us are on the front lines in our businesses. For some of us, our call is right here in Thomaston. While for some of us, our mission for Christ is people in our lives. People in our lives who just don't come to church anymore. For our church, could it be that the lost sheep and the lost coins are just people we blindly fail to see or remember? Do we pray for these kinds of people, or do we invite them to come in and pray for themselves? Do we make that choice to step outside of our comfort zone to go and search them out? Reaching lost people was a huge priority for Jesus. He once said, "For the Son of Man came to seek out and save the lost," in Luke 19. This is a critical passage of Scripture. Jesus said that his primary mission in life was to reach the lost. We see that clearly in today's text. Unfortunately, most churches focus all their attention, time, and money on the 99 sheep and the 9 coins. But in today's text and other passages, Jesus challenges us with integrity to seek the lost sheep and the lost coin. He challenges us with 4 points. The sheep is sought out. The shepherd leaves the 99 to go and search for that one that is lost. Jesus left the comfort of heaven to search for the hearts of humanity. Jesus still searches today for the hearts of his sheep. He comes with the power and seeks us out to follow him. The 99 were safe and in the fold. The shepherd leaves everything to prove his desire for the lost. The one desperately needed the shepherd, and so the shepherd leaves everything to pursue. 2, the search is urgent. There was a sense of urgency on the part of the shepherd. The shepherd understood the need of the sheep and immediately sought out the sheep. The shepherd pursued the sheep, dedicated and desired to search. The one lost sheep is the only thing that mattered to the shepherd. Lost people are the highest priority for Jesus, and they should be the highest priority of the church. 3, the shepherd refuses to stop. The only reason the shepherd stops his search is when he finds the sheep. The shepherd puts his full attention and effort into the search. He will never give up searching. 4, the shepherd carries the sheep home. When the shepherd finds the lost sheep, he lovingly embraces the sheep. He tenderly puts it on his shoulders, and he carries it home. What an image of grace, mercy, and unfailing love. Nothing illustrates the work of Jesus more than this. Jesus came to extend a lifeline to earth and did so by giving his life. We are called to extend the lifeline of gospel to those around us. We are called to reach people dying in the haze and rubble of sin and with the message of the kingdom. We are called to be ambassadors of life, hope, and integrity to those who need it the most. Now, Jesus challenges us and that Christians and churches can do evangelism with integrity in three different ways. First, Christians and churches can engage in a lifestyle evangelism. One of the best ways we can witness our faith is to live it. When we are like Christ, when we live lives of love and grace and compassion, integrity, service, and social justice, we testify that faith to other people. People see our lives and think, is this what Christianity looks like? I'm interested. Francis of Assisi said, preach the gospel at all times. Use words if necessary. Second, Christians and churches can engage in relational evangelism. I'm not talking about a sales pitch or pressuring people or annoying people, but all of them in our network, those around us in relationships, can find opportunities to share our faith naturally with people that we know. It can be as simple as letting folks know how important our faith is to us, how it grounds us, how it gives us meaning, how it gives us purpose, helps us through hard times, and motivates us to serve others. This kind of relational evangelism can be done naturally in our conversations with others and can make a huge impact on other people. And the third one, Christians and churches can engage in intentional evangelism. In short, this is the come and see method of evangelism. The most common form of invitational witness is to invite people to church for worship, special events, and for small group. This is a simple and easy way that we could share our faith. And it's actually very effective. Studies show that 90% of the people who first visit a church because someone they know has invited them to come. I once heard about a man who asked, is Jesus Christ your personal Savior? And he replied, no, I prefer to share him. This news is too good to keep to ourselves. A church is a group of people who know Christ and are committed to making him known to others. A church is a group of God's people who are seeking to work together to fulfill their God-given mission of seeking and saving those who are lost. Elton Trueblood, a Quaker scholar, once compared evangelism to fire. Evangelism occurs, he said, when the Christians are so ignited by their contact with Christ that in turn sets other fires. It's easy to determine when something is aflame. It ignites other material. Any fire that does not spread will eventually go out. A church without evangelism is a contradiction in terms, just as fire that does not burn is a contradiction. Amen. Now blessed with the opportunity to be able to give back to the most loving Lord.
Praise him, all creatures here.
Father God, we bow before you. We praise you and thank you. We thank you that we are able to give back to you. Father God, we just lift up in memory all those who lost their lives, all those who lived with that memory. We praise you and thank you this day and give everything to you, Father. Amen. Coffee and some stuff downstairs. As I know some of you are trying to get out of here for the show, but may we who have been found by the grace and the overwhelming love of God now become those who seek with grace and joy. Go into the world today with open eyes and longing full hearts, and may the peace of God resonate in every invitation and every welcome you make. Amen.